Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Listen for Dr. Mike's Real Late Ship of the Week in about 15 minutes. You have a fear of riding amusement park rides because, they go pretty fast and they turn pretty hard, but you may think they're unsafe, whether it's at one of these big theme parks or a carnival or a state fair. Well, we're about to talk about the first national study looking at pediatric injuries in these rides. And again, everything from carnivals to major amusement parks. Dr. Gary Smith, professor of pediatrics, emergency medicine, and epidemiology at Ohio State, The Ohio State University, the founder and director of the Center for Injury Research and Policy of the Research Institute at Nationwide Children's Hospital in Columbus, Ohio. Amusement park rides. This is a terrific topic because we're heading towards summer and people go to these places to be thrilled. Dr. Smith, we have thanks for coming on. We have here in Syracuse the State Fair, New York State Fair, every year, the Straits shows, and they get in here every August. And it always seems every year in the first couple of days, we get a story in the news about somebody injured on one of the rides. Is that pretty common? Is that probably one of the instances where the rides are a little less safe than, say, a fixed amusement park?
Well, I think we can safely say from this study that amusement ride-related injuries are occurring across a broad spectrum of venues and types of rides. We know from previous literature that's been published that has primarily focused on roller coasters and big rides, that they certainly do occur there. But this was sort of the first study that looked across the entire spectrum and includes not only those large amusement parks and also your traveling amusement rides, such as in carnivals and fairs, but also the local amusement rides that might be in your local arcades, your restaurants, and your shopping malls. Ones that young children, particularly under 5 years of age, might be exposed to. We found that across the board, all of these types of rides do have injuries, and interestingly, different types of injuries.
But it can't be a good thing to have to tear these rides down and set them up again every 2 weeks, can it?
Well, I think what is particularly helpful is that the mobile rides are regulated by the Consumer Product Safety Commission, and they do a really good job at oversight and enforcing safety standards. There are a broad number of safety standards that exist for rides, and the Consumer Product Safety Commission enforces those for mobile rides, such as in traveling carnivals and fairs. The ones that you find in the stationary amusement parks or theme parks or even down in your local arcade or restaurant, those are generally regulated by state and local government, and there's a lot more variability there from state to state. So actually, in some cases, those may be less safe. But I want to really emphasize one thing about this study was the big limitation of this study is we don't have good numbers on ridership. So we don't know how often these children are exposed to these different types of rides, so we can't really calculate risk. We can tell you the numbers, and the numbers are pretty even across the different locations, but the actual risk itself is really hard to come up with, and we certainly need much better data to be able to come up with those numbers for you.
All right, here's Dr. Mike, Dr. Mike Roizen.
Now, the press release I saw said about 300 million people take a ride every year in the United States. Is that really a true guesstimate?
Those are generally numbers that come from the fixed amusement parks and theme parks. Those were the only numbers available that we could find. When we tried to dig deeper and find out what's the ridership on your traveling fairs, your carnivals, and your local shopping malls, arcades, and restaurants, there's nobody that has numbers that we could find to help us with that. So that is that's an underestimate, the number you just quoted.
So if that's an underestimate, that means that at most something like 1 in 23 million 1 in 23 million riders would get a serious injury. So it's a pretty low risk.
It is a low risk, and I think that's the good news of this study. In fact, we saw about 4,400 children being treated in hospital emergency departments across this country each year on average. That's roughly one every 2 hours, and during the warm weather months when people are more likely to be on these rides, it was about 20 children a day. But less than 2% of those children required admission to the hospital, which is relatively low. So that's the good news. Most of these injuries are not serious and do not require hospitalization.
Now, if a mom's concerned about her child going on a ride and they're going to an amusement park, let's say they're going to the one that Joe likes, Cedar Fair, which is I guess you'd call it a fixed amusement park, and correct me if I'm wrong. If you're going there, what should Joe tell his grandkids? Should he have grandkids?
Well, so the thing that I would recommend to all parents is be sure to follow the directions that are there, the instructions for the ride. There are going to be minimum height and weight requirements for most of these rides, as well as age requirements. Understand that those are minimum, however, because just because a child physically may meet those minimum requirements, they may not be developmentally or emotionally ready. If a child is easily frightened and might try to wiggle out of the restraints for the ride while the ride is in operation, that child's not ready, and the parent needs to acknowledge that and choose a different activity. So clearly, follow instructions and be on the cautious side. Don't force a child onto a ride before they're ready.
And what about an adult? Let's say you don't want to go on a ride, but your child does. Should you be going on rides with your kids?
Well, that would actually be true in my case. I don't really like these rides that throw you around. I think that you would probably, in that case, especially if you're me, would find someone that could go on the ride with your child. I think, I get car sick pretty easily, and these rides really throw you around a lot, so I'd probably be a terrible person to partner with on a ride. But again, if an adult is on a ride with a child, they should make sure the child's well-restrained, and you should be loaded in correctly so that your weight isn't thrown on the child while the ride is in motion.
We have a couple of questions on injury prevention in general coming from the email question line.
Okay.
And one says, what's the most important or what's the most common injury in kids? And what does it come from and what do I do to prevent it?
Yeah, that's a great question. The most common injury is a fall, and that occurs in various locations. So children under 5 spend most of their time in the home, and so home-related falls are very common in that age group. But even across the age group, and especially into the older adult years, we see falls leading all of the other types of mechanisms. And that's the leading cause of emergency department visits as well among children. Anytime a child is above a surface, the potential for an injury is determined by two things, just basic physics: height of the fall and how cushioning the surface is underneath. And so when parents are, or when a child is playing or placed above a surface, the parents should be paying attention to those two factors. And coming back to our amusement ride story, many of these rides, especially among young children, in fact, about three-quarters of them were due to fall. And if it's over a hard surface and if there aren't restraints provided with those rides, then those are two things that contribute to those injuries. Parents should be looking for those, and that's something they can anticipate to help prevent these injuries from occurring.
And now, so under the age of 5, what about are bike accidents very common? I mean, I worry about kids riding bikes without helmets. Is that a common thing, or am I over-worried?
No, it is a very common source of injury. In fact, bicycles are the second most common consumer product related to injury other than the motor vehicle, and motor vehicles are way out in front. But bicycle, because there's so many bicyclists, because it's such a common activity, it's driven by exposure, so the more you do an activity, the more likely you're going to see an injury. In this case, bicycle-related injuries are very common, and you're absolutely right that the serious injuries are going to be due to head injuries, so wearing a helmet is absolutely imperative.
All right, we'll be back with Dr. Gary Smith in just a couple of minutes, the director of the Center for Injury Research and Policy of Nationwide Children's Hospital in Columbus. Injuries, kids' injuries, and injuries from rides at Carnival Fairs, and more with Dr. Smith coming up on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Stay well.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to GreatStartGTL.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
If you know the symptoms and get the facts, you'll know the signs of a heart attack. Women, listen to me, and when I'm done, if it sounds familiar, call 911.
Pain in your neck, chest,
arms, or jaw,
shortness of breath,
please tell us more. Cold sweats and nausea, tiredness,
it's time to take it
serious. Back pain, stomach pain, shortness of breath, cold sweats, nausea, dizziness. If you know the symptoms and heed the signs, you'll be around for a long, long time. Women, listen to me, and when I'm done, if any sound familiar, call 911.
Learn a song that could save your life. Get a free download at womenshealth.gov/heartattack.
Women, listen to me, and when I'm done, if any sound familiar, call 911. If any sound familiar, call 911.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.